This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 484 and a quarter, down 11 and a quarter. September corn, 481, down 9 and 3 quarters. December corn, 480 and a half, down 8 and a half. July soybeans, 1470 and a quarter, down 16 and a half. August soybeans, 1401 and 3 quarters, down 14 and a quarter. September soybeans, 1273 and 3 quarters, down 3 and a quarter. July wheat, 678 and a quarter, down 12. September wheat, 687, down 12. December wheat, 702 and 3 quarters, down 12 and a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese with Thursday. This is Thursday's grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Thursday afternoon, with a forecast of good planting weather for the next couple of weeks. Corn saw lower levels and beans retreated as well. Wheat followed corn and soybeans in the slide lower, with wheat out of the Black Sea area $1.50 cheaper helped push wheat prices lower. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 11 cents lower at 454 to 483. Soybean bids were 8 to 15 cents lower at 1456 to 1482. And in the central part of the state, grain dealers quoted shell corn 11 to 12 cents lower at 452 to 480. Soybean bids were 13 to 17 cents lower at 1470 to 1494. Now in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 7 to 12 cents lower at 463 to $5. Soybean bids were 9 to 11 cents lower at 1472 to 1502, and wheat bids were 12 cents lower at 643 to 675. Now from the Illinois soybean processors cash soybean bids. They were 17 to 21 cents lower at 1502 to 1530, with the basis steady to 4 lower at 32 to 60 under the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 506.40 to 523.40 per ton. That's $5.10 lower, with the basis unchanged at 25 to 42 over the July. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 11 cents lower at 486 to 498, with the basis unchanged at 2 to 14 over the July. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 10 to 4 cents lower at 489 to 493, with the basis unchanged at 1 cent higher at 5 to 9 over the July. Soybeans ended 17 to 18 cents lower at 1483 to 1493, the basis unchanged to 1 lower at 13 to 23 over the July. New crop wheat prices were 12 cents lower at 651 to 653, with the basis unchanged at 25 to 27 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 9 cents lower at 512 to 513. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 16 cents with quotations of 1506 to 1516. Soft wheat closed 12 cents lower at 683 to 704. And Milo ended the day 11 to 12 cents lower at 499 to 510. On to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In northern and western Illinois, corn ranged from 441 to 456, soybeans 1175 to 1199. In the central part of the state, corn was 442 to 461, and soybeans 1185 to $12. In the southern part of the state, corn was 449 to 461, and soybeans were 1180 to 1210. Soft wheat ranged from 639 to 653. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 137.55, up 10 cents. August live cattle, 137.92, down 47 cents. October live cattle, 141.65, down $1.07. May feeder cattle, 186.15, up 75 cents. August feeder cattle, 192.55, up 10 cents. September feeder cattle, 193.35, down 10 cents. June lean hogs, 119.40, down $1.17. July lean hogs, 125.40, down $1.50. August lean hogs, 125.65, down 85 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 15th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of 104.58 to 106, with a weighted average carcass price of 104.60. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 70 to 76, 4 to 5 weights 75 to 83, 5 to 6 weights 78 to 84, and 6 weights and up 82 to 88. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar higher with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $75 up to $80. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 12,978, and in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 144 to 147, and on a dress basis at 232 to 234. Heifers on a live basis was at 144 to 147.50, and on a dress basis at 234 to 236. Now the report from the Schuyler Livestock Auction in Rushville. They had receipts of 372 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 145 to 154. Select steers were 138.75 to 146.75. Choice heifers 146 to 151.75, and select heifers at 140 to 147. Now on to the slaughter cows. They had premium high dressing bringing 130 to 135. Breakers average dressing 100 to 105.50. High dressing 105 to 127. Boners were 95 to 99.75. And leans were 71.75 to 79.25. On to the slaughter bulls. Under 1,500 pounds, average dressing 103 to 107. High dressing were 130 to 135. 1,500-pound bulls and up, average dressing 113.50 to 118.50. And high dressing 121.50 to 133.25. They also had some feeder steers, medium and large ones, four weights 219 to 229. 5 weights, 221 to 226. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones. 4 weights were 207.50, and 5 weights were 200 to 207. Now from the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were 225.21, and that was 13 cents higher, with select carcasses at 215.47, which was 1 cent higher. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 306 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 113.23, and that was 31 cents higher. Now the opening report from the Walnut Livestock Auction. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers were $3 higher. Slaughter Holstein steers very light test. Trade was active and demand good, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 150 to 155. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were 133.50 to 135.75. And choice slaughter heifers, 148.50 to 153.75. Now for the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection. Cattle slaughter was estimated at 118,000 compared to 119,000 last week and 126,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 413,000 compared to 396,000 last week and 405,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. May and June corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.89. May and June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.80. May and June beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.84. May and June beans delivered to Scottville, $14.73. May wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.68. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.89, corn at Scottville is $4.80, beans at Greenfield are $14.84, beans at Scottville are $14.73, wheat at Scottville is $6.68. University of Arkansas scientists have demonstrated in dramatic fashion how little time it takes for resistant pigweed to take over a cotton field if it's only treated with glyphosate. On a 1 mile square patch of cotton land, they planted 20,000 seeds of resistant Palmer amaranth, the equivalent of just 2% of the output of a single weed, in one place. The first year, a patch of pigweed emerged 375 feet from where its first seeds were sown. The second year, the weeds had infested 20% of the field and were all the way out to the boundaries. The third year, the weeds had completely colonized the field, leaving the cotton impossible to harvest. The lead researcher, U.S. weed scientist Jason Norsworthy, says that's consistent with results they've seen in practice.
Actually, I was in a field in northeast Arkansas, I guess it was probably in 2007, and I can remember walking that field, and there were three glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth in that field, and within a matter of, well, three growing seasons later, that cotton crop was completely lost.
The seed gets around so rapidly, not only because one plant produces so many, but also because it's so small.
It's actually smaller than the end of on a pen, on an ink pen. And as a result of that, it can adhere within pieces of equipment. That seed readily floats, so when we irrigate these fields or we have rainfall events, that seed can move the length of the field, can get in bodies of water.
Their study, he says, justifies a zero-tolerance approach to resistant pigweed via mechanical means if necessary.
If you go back and you look at annual economics, people would tell you, one escape here, one escape there ultimately isn't going to have a major impact in terms of the cropping system. And no, it doesn't that year, but obviously what happens is we rapidly build up the soil seed bank, and over a short period of time, we quickly lose a technology.
Norsworthy says the results confirm the need to manage not just the field, but the entire farm.
Manage the turn rows, manage the ditch banks. It's a zero-tolerance program that it goes beyond the edge of the field. And we've also found that you really have to start with a clean field. We want to make sure that we have no weeds up at the time of planting. We're encouraging the use of multiple modes of action within that field, not just one herbicide or one technology.
Glyphosate-tolerant Palmer amaranth first showed up in Georgia, emerged in other southern states shortly thereafter, and has now spread to the Midwest. Norsworthy says the plant thrives under hot, dry conditions.
As of today, we now have 28 states in the U.S. with confirmed glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. States such as northern Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin. And I even made a bold prediction, I guess probably 6 months ago, that I think within the next year and a half to 2 years, we will see it even in southern Canada.
With a single female plant producing a million seeds, he says it's inevitable the seed would be spread around by vehicle traffic or by inadvertent inclusion in cottonseed meal, a popular feedstuff on dairy farms. As farmers work in their fields and youth get 4-H and FFA animals ready for show, it's important to keep safety at the forefront of everyone's mind. Dwayne Schallenberg is a volunteer with the Progressive Ag Foundation and hosted a safety day for a Highland school earlier this month.
Okay, we put on a farm safety program. It's through the Progressive Ag Foundation, and we do it at Highland. We have the 6th grade class come over to the fairgrounds, and the Highland FFA, they assist. They help me put it all on, and we had about 232 students this year go through the program.
Very good. And what are some of the main highlights that you try to get across to the kids when it comes to farm safety?
Well, we have 10 different stations. One of them's first aid, so we have the Highland EMTs come out, and they do a first aid program. The kids make first aid kits. They learn just basic what to do in case there's an accident. And then we have animal awareness, like we have one guy that teaches about the raccoons and the dangers of snakes and all this kind of stuff. We have chemical lookalikes where we have jars, and the care instructor demonstrates how Kool-Aid looks like antifreeze and oil and molasses and all this stuff. And then we have a PTO demonstration where we have a dummy tied to a power takeoff that actually shows how fast somebody could get wrapped up in a power takeoff. We do a grain safety. We have a gun safety. We have a ranger comes out. He demonstrates how to unload guns, how to be safe around guns. We have a farm equipment safety, which there's a resident in the area that had his foot taken off with a silage chopper. He's one of our speakers, and then we also have a young gentleman. His dad was run over by a tractor, so he speaks on farm safety. And we have a lawnmower safety, and I think there's 10 of them all together. I think that's most of the, and there's a water safety. That's basically the ones that we do.
Well, it sounds like you're covering all of the bases there. Now, why do you decide to have it at the beginning of May generally?
That's the end of school. The kids, that's when they usually take their field trips. We've been fortunate enough, the Highland Elementary, they walk across the street, the fairgrounds are there. So it's real convenient to have it that time of year. And it's the end of school, and it's a good time to get all the kids together. If we tried it in the summer, we wouldn't have any idea of how many students would show up or anything like that.
So. And I'm sure this is a great way to, you know, make sure that kids are safe when they go home and probably work on farms over the summer with 4-H animals and everything.
Right. And there's out of the 230, I think we had, there was over 160 of them that don't even live on farms. They have no idea, you know, the dangers that's on the farm. So we're educating the city folks on the dangers that's out there and trying to make it safer for the kids that are around the farm. So it's a good program all the way around.
Very good. It does sound very nice. And you said that you've been doing this for a few years?
Yes, I got started with Progressive Ag 11 years ago. And I think I've had about 27 students go through the program. The program's evolved from five people with a brainchild idea back, and it happened with a few accidents where one got run over by a tractor and one got suffocated in grain. And since the program, it started out with 17 programs across the United States. And to the day, we have 470, and we've now, this past year, the program has went into South America, so they're putting it on in Buenos Aires. And they're teaching the kids down there farm safety. Since we have so many cooperatives, fungi, ADM, and different ones that are in, you know, down South America now, that they're even putting on the programs down there. So the program's really expanded. We've had over, this morning they have a count, 1,240,000 students have went through the.
Wow, that sounds like it's really reaching out to a lot of people, very much so doing its job.
It is, and there's, like I said, there's five people that, they're the brains of the outfit, And then the rest of us, there's 430 volunteers like myself that put these programs on all across from Canada, to the Virgin Islands, South America now, and it's really grown. It's successful. We have sponsors, the big sponsors, that are contributing over $1 million a year to put the program on. So it's really grown since the 11, 12 years that I've been with them.
Excellent. Sounds great. And with your years of being in it, how effective do you think this is?
I think it's helped a lot. You know, I've had older students come back and say, oh, we did this and, you know, avoided an accident. And one thing, 2 years ago up there in Litchfield, there was a bus accident. There was a field trip with some of the students that went through there, and it happened just north of Litchfield up there. And I had teachers come back a couple years later saying that, you know, the students, there was arch helicopters there, there was firemen there, there was ambulances, and how calm the kids stayed. They said that going through the program, they thought that it helped, that the kids didn't panic and they kept their cool and everything, so, and didn't have any more injuries. I think it's making a difference.
Well, good, good. And if you had one main safety message just to air out to everyone in the listening area, what would it be?
Just use your common sense and be safe. You know, don't get in a hurry. Take your time. It's not worth it in the end. And just have a great summer.
Again, that was Dwayne Schallenberg with the Progressive Ag Foundation, reminding everyone to stay safe this season. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.